Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The problem most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp? I'm an accomplished ventriloquist?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, I am a 7th degree Imperial Yo-Yo Master. Oh, do me, Yo-Yo Master. I want you to do me because you're the Yo-Yo guy.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Just gorgeous outside. Absolutely gorgeous. Mail sack coming up, 215. So get your questions in. 55305 is a fan text line. Sports or non-sports related. Already got some good ones rolling in. Read through those. Give you our answers. Controversy in the NFL. We got to talk about some poll questions to answer. We are locked and loaded. Question. Can you be the best dunker of all time and not win a slam dunk contest?
Yes.
Because P1 Cody has already tweeted us, yes, you can. His name is Sean Kemp, which made me chuckle.
That's a good point.
Because the dunk contest happened on Saturday night, and I'm not a big skills, three-point, all-star night kind of guy. Not real my cup of tea.
I get it.
But I'm always one that I wait to see what the buzz is about. And if there's buzz, I go back, and I like to see, all right, what did I miss here? Should I have watched this? And the dunk contest looked pretty damn entertaining. I'm not going to lie. But a lot of controversy for folks about Aaron Gordon, who, again, people seem to believe got hosed. Yet some consider him the best dunker of all time.
Well, I don't know how many people do. I do. I've seen the sample size here. We've got two dunk was it a second or third one?
Well, wasn't he the one that got robbed by Dwight Howard throwing in the non-dunk dunk?
God, was he in that year? I'll have to look that up.
You might be right. He's been runner-up twice.
Yeah, I know he lost to Zach LaVine a couple years ago. He got back in and lost this time to Derrick Jones. Okay. Now, look, two or three times, doesn't matter. I've seen the sample size. I know what I've seen. And you absolutely can be the best dunker of all time without winning the dunk contest. What the dunk contest has lost is the luster of excitement over somebody doing an athletic achievement that 99.99% of the arena can't do. Yeah. Michael Jordan used to do basic reverse dunks and everybody lost their minds. Now a guy gets it through his legs, jumps over a 6-foot guy and finishes with the opposite hand. And it's just like crickets in the building.
The one that blew me away the most was the Aaron Gordon one off the side of the backboard. Just the visual on that.
Wait, what? I'm with you.
Didn't make sense.
And he got, Derrick Jones put on a hell of a show.
He did. And I don't feel like it's that controversial that he won. I think people are overblowing that
a little bit. No, I'm not.
It's still an exhibition. It's still for fun.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
And I had fun watching it. I wasn't one that had to jump on Twitter and share his thoughts that, oh my God, he got hosed again. Everybody has to do the same thing. Yeah.
Did he not win because he slammed his balls into the back of Taco Fall's head?
He jumped over. He did not clear him.
He went crotch to the back of the head.
Okay, see, this is my, you're proving
like
my
reverse
whole
tea
point.
Bag.
You're proving my entire point. We are now at a point where we have to dissect every single dunk and claim whether it was legit or not, whereas Spud Webb threw a ball off the backboard, dunked it with one hand, and it's one of the greatest dunks of all time.
He's 5'1".
Oh, yeah, but he wore weights as a baby. I don't know. There's always an excuse for a great dunk that happened to be like, well, technically.
Have you seen the meme of the fat guy sitting on the couch in like a wife beater tank top with like nacho cheese drizzled on it? And he's like eating chips and it's like reads NFL quarterback threw another pick. That guy sucks, man.
That's largely who I think is commenting on social media sites or
message boards. Don't even jump all the way over him.
My thing is, and I I tuned in more for the three-point contest.
Which was great, by the way.
That, and I like the new deep ball.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
I
thought for the most part, the guys came to shoot.
It was a competition.
That was a competition. I was going back and forth because I was really intrigued. They had an outdoor hockey game going on at the same time.
Okay, all right. Well,
It was cool. It was at the Air Force Academy up in Colorado Springs.
I've never seen an outdoor hockey game in my life.
So,
if it makes you feel any better, I got back on Sunday from golfing, and instead of watching the All-Star game, I rewatched the final round at Riviera.
Yeah.
Because I won money on Adam Scott. I wanted to see how he won. And then I went and watched the All-Star game later.
I am fully aware that more than half the audience doesn't care about. I'm not even advocating to care. I'm just simply saying if we're talking about the dunk contest, which was great, I don't get this whole backlash of dunk contest kind of sucks.
Dude,
these guys are doing dunks we've never seen.
Yeah, this year.
But I feel like we have.
No, we haven't.
No.
Have you seen a guy grab a ball off a moving mascot and then sit in the air and take the ball under his ass and then dunk it? I never had. Have you seen a guy catch the ball off the side of the backboard and in one sweeping motion do a windmill? I haven't. I've never seen watching the dunk contest, it's not for everybody. My point is, though, if you were to talk about the greatest dunkers of all time that we've seen in the competition with all the dunks that we've seen.
Sure.
Are you honestly going to tell me you're not putting Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon in your final four of all time?
Yeah, give me your hot take from before the show. Let's get a reaction to this.
This is the biggest thing that I think has brought the perception of the dunk contest down.
Everybody can dunk now. It's not as cool.
No, but if those things had happened, if that had been LeBron James, because the big deal about, you go back to Jordan, like it was Jordan and Neek, and they were two of the best players in the league at the time.
I agree with that.
In regular stuff.
Why does that matter at this point? It's just been going on for a long time.
It's the same thing in the home run derby. Like when a random ass dude wins the home run derby, it's like, oh, all right.
Right,
well, he's a good home run hitter, but...
But see, here's
it's
the difference.
It's different when Ken Griffey Jr. wins it.
Right, I'll give you that. It is a little different with name status, but if a guy is known to be really good at doing one thing more than others, I don't know why we have to dismiss it and not like think it's still cool.
I think you're right. I'm saying I think there's something to what Swag's saying.
That it has gone is because everybody keeps passing all the stud players. That's the one thing.
They're not even really asking stud players to do it anymore.
Well, Zion said he's going to do it next year if he's healthy.
Let's hope so.
So if he does half those dunks that we saw on Saturday, it's suddenly going to be
time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Greatest
That's my point.
Of all time.
I mean,
That's
if LeBron
ridiculous.
Had done those or Giannis did them or some...
I've seen LeBron in a dunk contest. He did it in high school. You know what his best dunk was? He threw it off the glass and slammed it with two hands. He got a 50 off that. I'm not saying LeBron should have done the dunk contest. That feels like a rite of passage in the NBA.
Sure.
The coolest thing about the NHL All-Star Skills Competition is that it's all the All-Stars that are playing in the game the next day doing all that stuff.
I know, but dunking seems to be the only one we hold to that standard. Three-point contest isn't. The skills competition isn't.
Can we give Pat Connaughton a shout out for going with the white man can't jump outfit?
It was great. Both his dunks were awesome.
That was pretty cool.
He jumped over Giannis.
I know.
His testicles hit his head. Technically, he didn't.
What a bomb.
He caught it over 6'10", 6'11", Giannis. And then he did a pat the ball off the backboard and still dunked it while catching it.
Yeah, that one looked bad in real time because it looked like he slipped. You couldn't quite tell. And then you watch the replay. The slow-mo replay of all these they're awesome to watch. The only critique I have of this year's dunk contest, it feels like the theme, and maybe this has been the same in years past, I just don't remember it because it's revisionist. It feels like everybody was doing the same thing, and it's the jump over people thing. That's the trend we're in now.
Sure.
Like that's everybody's got to do the I jumped over this guy, jump over that guy.
But you also need to take into account what each dunk is, right? Like Derek Jones jumped over people, I think, three of his first four dunks.
He did, yeah.
But he did different variations, and that...
He did.
Like that shouldn't matter. Like he grabbed a ball off a 6-foot person who nobody's heard of out of his hand.
Yeah, that was cool.
And in one sweeping motion went under his legs with a dunk while jumping over the guy.
That was pretty damn cool.
And we're now we're to a point now as a society where we just like, meh, I couldn't do that dunk standing on a 6-foot hoop.
Give me a trampoline. I could pull that off.
Right. Yeah.
Give me your hot take though. You gave me a hot take for the show.
It was more of a hot take question.
You ready for this, Swigard? You ready for this?
Of all the amazing dunks you've seen in your life, and I don't think you watched the dunk contest Saturday, so I don't know what your opinion's going to be on this.
I saw some highlights.
I saw two guys giving us dunks we haven't seen before. And so I just wondered, would you kick out Zach LaVine, Derrick Jones, and Aaron Gordon of three of the best four NBA dunk contest people we've ever had?
I guess if you asked me who the best dunkers were, I would more refer to what I've actually seen in live games. Like Sean Kemp comes to mind.
Sure.
Some of his stuff, Jordan's stuff,
different though, isn't it?
In-game is in-game different than
Dominique Wilkins in-game.
I'm talking about dunk contests. Because I wouldn't pick those three with my in-game dunks.
I don't know. I mean, I think Vince Carter.
Vince Carter, yeah. That's
why
there's
a
fourth.
The top. Kenny Skywalker, what he did the year he won.
I think if you were to go back, and it's not necessarily their fault, the best dunk that you saw those guys do, I don't think it was better than any dunk we saw on Saturday.
Sean Bradley, that dude didn't even have to jump, man.
Isn't that what taco's supposed to be now?
Just hammer it home. Just standing right
there
in the paint.
Taco, you're not invited, but can we dunk on you? I just want to dunk over you.
What, by the way, we have now have listeners texting in things that they want to see people dunk over. What about a tracker?
Zach LaVine dunked 1 foot. I want you to bear and keep this in mind. 1 foot inside the free throw line, and he dunked under the legs.
He did, yeah. Bum. Somebody said maybe dunk over a tarp full of elephant poop in case you screw up.
Oh, God.
There's a little plus minus there if you can't make it. Uh-oh.
Hey, those dudes
I'm into
were...
elephants.
I didn't know we had that drop. They got pretty clutch with some of those, though, for the people who missed it. They had a couple like, hey, you got to make this dunk if you're going to win or advance, and yeah. they made them.
That's the one
It
drawback.
Wasn't a million tries over and over and over
That's the other
again.
Thing. I think it's too many rounds to... Your fourth, I mean, they went to, and at some point the guys are like, because they work on, okay, if I win, I'm going to have to come up with like four dunks, and now you're asking them to do six, seven.
I'm with you there.
At some point, it's like, no, your judges need to, I don't know if they need to go tenths of a point or some way to keep it from just, because it becomes silly at some point.
The system and the judging is not perfect. I'm not advocating. I'm just talking about simply the guys that are in the event. You have not seen a better dunker than Aaron Gordon. You may have seen a flashier one or a better in-game. Vince Carter's was
Gordon's
amazing.
Gordon's entire repertoire?
He is.
I would put that up against anybody's.
Any,
yeah.
Yes. Any dunker we've ever seen in the slam dunk contest. I put Derrick Jones in the category. I don't know if he'd get there. He was doing things you don't see. Zach LaVine has proven that he can do things you haven't seen. We've had great dunk contests, and maybe the name thing is to Swag's point, correct. But
well, we'll see. Maybe next year it impacts it, because Zion did say if he's healthy next year, he wants to participate.
You get Zion and Ja Morant?
Yeah.
That'd be
oh,
great.
My God.
Yeah, that would be great. But no, it was, I mean, it was entertaining. I didn't watch it live. I went and watched the highlights of it. It lived up to the hype, man. There were some incredible dunks, people jumping over people. Really good dunk contest this year, and there's been some duds in the past, so nice to see that event come back a little bit with a bang. All in all, a really good All-Star weekend, I would say, for the NBA. All right, let's get to the mail sack. Your questions, welcome. 55305 is the Fan text line. Sports or non-sports related, get them in. We'll answer them next on The Fan. I'm a pivot coming up bottom of the hour. I forgot there's an article out about the NBA ratings locally for the first half of the season. I don't even like seeing first half because you're past the halfway point, but we break it up in an All-Star game. But from what the NBA ratings have looked like so far from a local angle, where does Portland fall? How does the rest of the league look? We'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour because the numbers haven't necessarily been great for the league nationally so far this year. But let's get to the mail sack. We all ready? Ready for mail sack time?
Always ready for the sack.
Mail sack.
Okay. We'll start with some Twitter ones that were sent in earlier today.
We got some tweets.
We got some Twitter ones. P1 Cody asks on Twitter for the mail sack. Here we go, guys. If you could only drink one kind of beer for the rest of your life, what style would you choose? IPAs, lagers, stouts, etc.
Black lager.
You would go for only one beer the rest of your life, no matter the setting and the situation.
Absolutely. Because it gives me the kind of the darker, maltier flavor I'm looking for, but yet it's still light. It's lighter than a porter or a stout that just sits real heavy.
Okay.
Alcohol content's usually up to.
That's true.
I would go, I think a good example of what I would pick is like a Pelican Umbrella.
Yeah.
It's an IPA, but it's not a heavy IPA.
Now, you don't want it too thick because you don't always want thick IPAs.
So I'm getting that right volume. Mixed in with, I like that IPA taste, and
I think that's probably where I would go too.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Keep it light. That would be tough, though, man. You imagine that, only drinking one kind of beer the rest of your life, not being able to sample?
The idea of a dark lager.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, I'm thinking like a 100-degree day in like July.
Oh, yeah, but you can get
milk was a bad choice.
No, but you can get the lager, you can get real cold. Like stouts, you don't want to get super cold.
That's true.
But the lager, black lager, you can, or black ale, you can get real, real cold and it still works.
Okay, P1 Tyler asked, do you guys think that behind the scenes where we can't see the Mariners are doing whatever they can to stop Portland from acquiring an MLB franchise? I asked a Seattle beat writer about it, and that's what he came up with. I mean, yeah.
That the Mariners behind the scenes are trying to stop it? Absolutely.
Yeah, they don't want to share the market. They have fans that come up from Portland. They have a regional fan base in this area, which drives me nuts because we're not Seattle. But that's the way it works, and yeah, I'm
going to guess that they don't have too much of a leg to. I mean, once Washington got put into the Baltimore, I mean, they had a, because they're what, 40 minutes apart?
Yeah, about.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baltimore fought it initially.
And they fought it. Yeah. Like, and if the other owners in Major League Baseball wants to put a team in Portland, then there's going to be a team in Portland.
It's close, but it's such a different crowd to me, you know?
Yeah.
It's your few Mariner fans.
It should
fans.
Be a different crowd, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, the few Mariner fans that actually make the trek up, that watch religiously, I think they are a very small percentage of Portland.
They'll raise a stink hoping to get some extra compensation for it.
Yeah, Sonics and Blazers work fine for years.
How about you just shut up and build a good winning team?
Yeah, they got enough problems of their own.
Other things.
By the way, one quick note on that,
too. By the way, take the under on 67.
Oh, that's what their over-under is, 67?
Yeah, they're going to be terrible.
Ooh, that's a really low number.
They're going to be bad.
One quick note on that, by the way, randomly. I saw, I don't know if I should say this on the air or not, but I'm going to anyways. Did you see the A's don't have a radio deal?
Yeah, I did.
There's not a flagship?
They're not on the radio.
Because I thought
our sister station had that.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good fit. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah, I came across. I just saw that on the wire this morning. It was like, wait, what? The year starting?
But if nobody listens to Rays games on the radio, do you need a radio affiliate?
And the other thing is nobody, without knowing how long they're going to remain in, if they are going to remain in Oakland, nobody wants to sign a long-term deal.
Right. And KMBR is with the Giants, so they're not going anywhere.
They're not
going
there.
They've been the Giant station forever down there.
Play-by-play partnerships can be very tricky for a lot of radio stations.
They can, man. They can.
And especially baseball with as much inventory and how much time they take up. Yeah.
Without a doubt. So I just thought I'd bring that up. So that's how things are going in Oakland. They don't have a radio home for the upcoming season. P1 Sean asks, what's the best way to approach you guys in public when we see you? Haha, nice meeting you at In-N-Out, Sprague. Did you meet a listener?
Yeah, I went to In-N-Out.
You did? How was it? Let's get a review.
Oh, it's fantastic. The fries, I mean, look, you don't go to In-N-Out for the fries. Never have thought that.
Now, somebody said you're supposed to order the fry, what is it, animal style or something?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that doesn't matter. Their fries aren't very good. But, I did the full experience. Right. Got there at 10:45 a.m. because they open at 10:30.
Okay.
And how long was the line?
I only waited for 10 minutes.
Oh.
And right after we got there is when it started getting crazy, around 11:15. And the wait was probably another 15 minutes.
Okay, for the food.
So about 25-minute wait from start to meal.
That's not bad.
And I met P1 Sean.
P1 Sean.
Yeah, he didn't introduce his name, but he said he listens to the show. And
there you go.
Really nice, so it's cool to meet him. It was great.
Yeah, just come say hi to answer the first part of the question. Say what up. We love meeting listeners
out
in public.
Love meeting listeners.
Yes.
Come say what up.
Sorry if I seemed like I was being spacey. I was just thinking about how good the cheeseburger was going to be.
Well, we both have, I don't know about Swigar, but I know you and I, we have a bit of a resting bee face, if you will.
Yeah, I look like a real a-hole.
To be in a bad mood. No, I'm not. I just, you know, it's kind of the look on the face sometimes.
It's my face. I don't know how to change it.
Just depends if
I'm... I just want to punch you right in the sock hole.
If I'm concentrating on something or not.
Yeah. All right, one more on Twitter, and we'll get to the text line. B. Williford asks, should the Blazers shelf Nurk post All-Star break and allow the franchise to get a full look at Hassan Whiteside for long-term potential?
I don't know how long-term they're going to be able to afford. I'll encourage
not
you
if
know,
Nurk's healthy enough to get on the floor.
He's still got, 3 years left on his deal?
Nurk, yeah.
After this, or 2 years left, something like that?
I saw a note that Stotts says that they'll reevaluate Dame when he gets back in town. Now, it could be a week. Or it could be a month.
God, hopefully it's a month.
Like, that's where Stotts is. If he misses, I really think it's simple as this. If he misses the first 4 to 5 games.
And they lose all of them.
Call it. just stop.
Yeah, if that, because they're what, four back right now?
Four back.
You got New Orleans, you play New Orleans on Friday, right? That's their first game back. So you lose to New Orleans, I think then you're either tied or you're right. New Orleans is right there with you if you lose that game. He's not playing on Friday. Yeah, I mean, if that gap gets to seven or eight games, there's only, what, 25 games left in the year?
It is incredibly difficult. You're not going to make that up. Four games, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, you're not going to make that up, man. Go for a top 10 pick.
You, by the way, right now, you sit about a game and a half ahead of New Orleans.
Yeah, so if you lose, you're basically tied with New Orleans if you lose that game, and they would have the season series over you as well. I think they already won the first two, if I'm not mistaken, so... okay, this one's a little lengthy. Bear with me here. This is from P1 Dustin. You guys ready?
Go.
Mail sack. Got in a relationship recently, started seeing a new girl. Oh, excuse me. Got out of a relationship recently, started seeing a new girl. We met using an online dating app. Been about 2 months, and we were watching TV on the couch. She picked up her phone, and I glanced at it. Noticed she still has her online dating apps installed. I uninstalled mine. So, kind of annoyed me. I dropped I uninstalled them. It got all jumbled up. I uninstalled them as soon as we were exclusive. I made a comment, not an aggressive or accusatory comment, but like, oh, you still have them. She got annoyed. I dropped it, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
Do you want my honest opinion?
Fair. I will say this. Because sometimes there's some people that just, once they load an app in, they just don't bother doing anything with it, whether they access it or not.
But if it's an out of sight, out of the mind thing, he brings it up, wouldn't she say, oh, you're right, I should delete that and not get angry?
Yeah, but you were snooping on her phone, which is
something to that.
She might be testy
there's
about.
There's something to that.
Because you're only 2 months in.
Yeah, if you're just getting into it, there's something to that.
I'd let it go.
Never let it go. You need to get...
Or I wouldn't make an issue out of it now.
No, okay, stop. This is when you do make... If this relationship is worthy of being a relationship and you care...
You got to make sure you're on the same page here.
You need to just text or call her and say, hey, can we have a talk? Can we go out and get some dinner? Go somewhere nice and intimate, quiet. Go have a nice meal or have a home-cooked meal and say, look, I did see your phone. You were holding it. I just looked over. I happened to see the app. It's not a big deal. I just deleted mine. Are we on the same page? How we're feeling about each other? I just felt like there was no need for the app. It's really easy to delete and reinstall an app.
It is.
I'd rather know right now, hey, is this that serious to you? Do you still think we're in the dating phase? Exclusive? How are you feeling? You just need to open all the can of worms. You need to have the conversation. There isn't anything you should be holding back if it's a serious relationship.
I tend to agree with you there.
I've been in a relationship now for a decade. 2 months doesn't seem that long, but man, when you get back into the dating scene, 2 months is a bit of a lengthy time there. Yeah. So
next thing you look up and it's been a year, and then it's been a year and a half, and is that thing still lingering?
Right. I would want to know what's going on and what the truth and how they feel is.
Okay, a couple of quick ones rattle through. Are you guys red wine or white wine fans?
Oh, red.
Today is National Wine Day, I believe.
Oh. Yes.
National
Wine Drinking Day.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, my mom is a white, and the wife and I are strictly a red. My mom's been coming over for dinner, and I bought her a Riesling bottle.
Okay, Riesling's good.
I'd never had Riesling.
It's good.
I liked it.
You ever had Pinot Gris?
I have Pinot Gris. It's okay. It's not better than red, but Riesling for me was like up there with the reds I've had.
Yeah. So, every once in a while,
I like it all.
I'm a switch hitter.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, a good oaky Chardonnay,
there
but
you go.
Very rarely.
Okay.
A little bath, and candles.
No, it's strictly
it's a Michael Bolton.
Strictly red.
I'm some handsome. Okay, a couple quick ones here. We're gonna rattle through. If you could win an all-star competition in any sport, what event would you want to be the champ of?
Oh, 3-point
home
contest.
Run derby.
You would go 3-point contest over dunk contest, really?
Yeah.
It's the feeling of dunking over people?
No, there's a feeling of throwing that ball in from 30 feet that just makes it... Like, the Larry Bird ending is one of my favorite sports endings ever.
Okay.
The dude threw the ball up and just turned and put the one finger... He knew it was going in.
Would you rather watch an NBA game where you can only dunk or only shoot three-pointers?
I mean, this is the NBA versus slam ball. What are you into?
Well, I would say because...
That's a really tough one.
You're more likely to make more. I mean, I've I've seen some NBA games recently where it seems like they're only shooting three-pointers all those clangs coming off. I'd rather see dunks because...
You just pack the paint, man. There'd be so many fouls.
Look, threes are great, especially in like that big momentum run-building moment, right? Dame hits a deep three or Steph hits a deep three. The building goes crazy. But there's not a better feeling in the world than watching a guy just slam it in a dude's face. Or have a breakaway dunk where he just tomahawks that baby and the building goes crazy.
Or somebody goes up and meets him at the summit for the block.
Sure. And then it leads to a fast break dunk. Dude, the block is when everybody goes, oh, and then they get up. And right as he's going for the dunk, there's that quiet calm and rising. Yeah. And then it's, ah!
Whole crowd goes crazy.
And then the voice guy, time out,
cheerleaders run onto the floor. They start dancing.
Yeah.
Everybody's clapping.
A better feeling in sports than that moment.
Good times. Great mail sack questions today, ladies and gents. We will do this again next Tuesday at 2:15. Hey, the NBA ratings from the pre-All-Star break are in from a local angle. Wait till you hear what's going on with the Clippers, how nobody's watching Warrior games anymore, and who are the top seven markets in the league. We'll tell you next. The NBA ratings coming up here in a moment. Welcome back in, by the way. A little bit of breaking news, though.
Oh.
And I promise it's actual breaking news. Greg Olsen, the former Carolina Panthers tight end, has signed a one-year, $7 million deal that includes $5.5 million guaranteed with the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
He visited and negotiated with Buffalo, Seattle, and Washington, but felt most comfortable with Seattle. Feels like a no-brainer for both sides, right? Olsen wants to go for it one more year. Seattle's close and a contending team. Buffalo, you can argue, I guess, in that similar boat, but they don't have Russell Wilson in Washington. Why the hell would you want to go play there unless they're throwing a crazy amount of money at you? Feels like a win-win.
Yeah, I like that his agent or his representation basically put this message to Schefter. Olsen really liked Buffalo and Washington. No, you didn't. You didn't like Washington. Buffalo would have been a good landing spot for him, but I'm not sure they give you what Russell Wilson gives you. As soon as I found out Seahawks were going to bring him in, I just thought in my head it was a done deal. He was going to be a Seahawk. And I thought, I was actually a little surprised he didn't sign the day he was at the facility. This is a perfect move, in my opinion. The only thing that would worry me here is the health.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to stay healthy.
He had some really good health going from basically the start of his career in 07 all the way up till 16. Mm-hmm. And then after 2016, it's just deteriorated. He had seven games, nine games, and then this year he had 14, and 14 is obviously what you're hoping for. If he can give you 14 games, I think Seattle's just as big a threat as anybody else. Obviously, they have some things to shore up on their end. Jadeveon Clowney, if they re-sign him, trying to bolster some more on defense. Help the offensive line if you can or if you feel like you need to. But you had the Chris Carson coming back from an injury. You had Metcalf coming back from a really good rookie debut. You mix that in with a Greg Olsen and Russell Wilson. This is a home run hit, I think, for the Seahawks at $5.5 million. And I think it's a really good decision by him because, to his point, you know, Buffalo is a very good, somewhat young, up-and-coming team still. Washington's god-awful. You want to go play with Russell Wilson. You want to go play with maybe the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Smart move by him, and I think every other team in that division should be looking at that, and the only thing you can hope for is an injury, because other than that, I think this is going to be a perfect mix. I really do.
Yeah, and his numbers last year, as you mentioned, he played 14 games. A little misleading, too, because he didn't have a quarterback for most of that year.
Right.
I mean, there was so much turnover. They had different guys playing. Some, you know, Kyle Allen had that brief stretch for like 2-3 games where he played okay, and then he sucked at the end of the year. So he had 600 yards last year and only 2 touchdowns in those 14 games. Again, misleading. I think if he's in a different offense, maybe a little more productive. He wants to go for it one more year. And really, I mean, Seattle, there's not a lot of criticisms you have of the team. When the running backs are healthy, you feel good about them. You know, they improved the secondary with the trade last year, bringing in Diggs. Maybe a little bit more on a pass rush. They got to figure out what to do with Jadeveon Clowney. One of the few criticisms I do have is I think they need another target just to help Russell Wilson out, build the offense a little bit more. Metcalf came on strong, and I think he's going to have a big second year, but this gives him another legitimate target. Hopefully he can stay healthy. He is 34 years old. I don't know when he turns 35, but again, it's a one-year deal, so it's not a long-term commitment. You're going for it a little bit on both sides.
Oh, he's about to be 35, March 11th.
Okay, so just about to turn 35. So it'll be 35 next season. But if you're just getting in your car, Greg Olsen and Seattle sign a one-year, $7 million deal, $5.5 million guaranteed.
You know, I know he's not what he was just a couple years ago. Again, the injuries haven't helped with that. But this is one of those moves. We talked about this after the Super Bowl, right? It's Kansas City side and San Francisco side, two teams to get to that point. You know, it's easy to just say Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. It's easy to say Kyle Shanahan, Nick Bosa. Sometimes it's these signings that actually make the difference. And come playoff time, Seattle's in a pivotal moment. Olsen's playing, and Russell Wilson scrambles and finds and picks up a big first down late in a ball game to secure a playoff win. It's in that moment you go, oh, $5.5 million, easily well spent.
That's right. That's why we wanted that guy. This is also, by the way, a really tough day for the broadcasting industry. Now, we knew Greg Olsen wanted to play and he was taking visits, but he's one of those guys that everybody thinks is going to be the next broadcasting kind of phenom, if you will. The other guy the networks were going really hard after was Drew Brees. Both those guys, everybody thought, well, if Drew Brees retires, he can go the Tony Romo route, step right into the booth. He's ready to go. But both those guys going to come back and play. Again, Olsen, we knew he was flirting with teams and interviewing, but Brees, we, I guess, technically didn't.
Good note from Pro Football Focus. Olsen has dropped just 4 passes in 4 seasons. Has Wilson had, I mean, Doug Baldwin, the most reliable target he's had? He hasn't had a target quite like that.
No, Baldwin's got to be the best. Lockett's come on, but he's not quite to that level. Yeah, it's easily Doug Baldwin.
I mean, that's 4 passes dropped in 4 years. Pretty remarkable.
That is a crazy number.
Yeah.
Really is. And that is actually one of the breakups, too. We didn't talk about when it happened, but that was one of the breakups that you kind of tip your cap to. When he came out and Carolina and him announced that they were going separate ways, it was like a classier breakup as you could possibly have. Like, both sides were like, Carolina was like, man, we love Greg Olsen. He did so much. He's one of the faces of the franchise. Had a great run here. We're clearly going in a different direction and rebuilding. Greg Olsen had nothing but positive things to say. It was like a real amicable breakup that was it was nice to see.
Well, and I think the way that they've handled themselves as an organization has been classy. I remember the news when Ron Rivera got fired. I was in Vietnam and I was like, what? I just didn't expect him to fire him during the season. And, you know, in the moment you're kind of like, well, that's dirty. You just do that to that dude after all his years. It actually helped him. It gave him a leg up on interviewing and going and seeing what franchise he may want to coach with next year. And he found his in Washington.
Yep.
Which is mainly why I think it was a tough decision for Olsen, was to play with your old coach again or go to a new venture. I thought that was classy. The Cam Newton thing seems to be going okay.
Yeah, well, that's a TBD. We'll see how that all plays out.
Right. It seems to be, though, at a point where they may realize it's best to part ways. And the Olsen thing, as you mentioned, team handled it the right way. And anytime you can end a relationship that lengthy and that successful, I think you do what you can to keep it classy.
So Greg Olsen signing with Seattle, officially Adam Schefter reporting $7 million deal that includes $5.5 million guaranteed. He had also visited and negotiated with Buffalo and Washington, but he felt most comfortable with the Seahawks. So there you go, a little bit of an NFL news bomb for you at 2:43 on a Tuesday. I'm going to holster the NBA ratings thing. I apologize for doing that. It's a dirty tease because I do find it an interesting conversation, but I'm going to keep it in the show notes for tomorrow. So we'll get to that. There is another ratings note that I want to get to, plus the poll questions we got to answer. We'll close up there next on The Fan. Hey, if you're Irish, I have some bad news for you. Any of you guys Irish? Got any Irish in your blood?
I think I have. My oldest brother did is it 23andMe?
A little DNA testing.
And I think there was like 2% or 3%. Like nothing major, yeah.
Well, I got some bad news for that 2% of you. Irish men have been dubbed the ugliest in the world.
I said 2%, right?
You did. Apparently, there's a dating site called beautifulpeople.com, and it screens people on, like, you have to be good-looking in order to be on the site.
Well, that's just mean,
so
man.
So you can't be, like, no ugly people allowed. Only good people can go on the dating site. And they judge on their website just 6% of Irish single men they've allowed to land on the dating site, which is far and away the lowest of any nationalities. In contrast, though, Ireland's women have climbed up. They're 6th overall, their highest ever ranking, and they're tied with France.
So the ladies are hot and the men are ugly.
That's what they're voting on, beautifulpeople.com.
So do you move to Ireland and you just take advantage of the...
If you're a guy, it's not bad, right?
Yeah, if you're not Irish, sounds right. Like you're better looking than that guy.
All the bros are apparently ugly and all the chicks are apparently decent looking. Anybody want to move to Ireland?
Fine. Fine Irish lasses.
You want a fun Ireland fact? My folks were in Ireland last year. There are more sheep in Ireland than there are people.
I believe that. I believe that.
No, it's a fact. It's
Oh yeah. It's fact. Yeah. Everybody says things are facts until you find out that it's fake. So I believe you.
I quite enjoyed that. I saw that headline. Irishman, I apologize, but apparently you are the ugliest in the world. I want to get to this quickly as well. LeBron James has spoken. Let's see if we can make sense of it. Are you ready for this?
This is...
I'm going to read this word. This is verbatim. I'm reading this, okay?
I have a theory behind this tweet. Okay. I have a theory.
So the Major League Baseball scandal, we know, not going anywhere. And it's now delved to the point where LeBron is speaking out on it.
Mm.
LeBron is sharing his thoughts on the cheating scandal from the Houston Astros. He has tweeted, quote, now again, I'm just going to read this, quote, "Listen, I know I don't play baseball."
Thanks, LeBron. We didn't know that.
"But I am in sports. And I know
this is true.
And I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be bleeping irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I would could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, et cetera, about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field. And you need to fix this for the sake of sports. Hashtag, just my thoughts coming from a sports junkie, regardless my sport I play."
It's the greatest hashtag ever created.
That is the longest hashtag I've ever seen. LeBron has spoken. Your thoughts?
If Swag created a hashtag, it'd be that long. That was my first thought, was did Swigard create the hashtag for him? Because I don't think he understands what the point of the hashtag is.
Just my thoughts.
Just my thoughts from a guy playing in a sport that's not the sport of baseball. My thoughts. I think LeBron is hammered on a beach right now, and he's tweeting about baseball because it's probably on a TV near him. That's what I think. I think the way you read that,
wait,
it doesn't...
Wait, what? They cheated? What?
That's not a coherent thought. Like, it's a lot of run-on sentences there, and the hashtag's terrible. I think LeBron is hammered right now, enjoying his time off.
Hey, the ball's literally in their court, man.
And he thought, I'm sober enough. I could tweet about this right now. And he tweeted. By the way, he uses a baseball emoji next to...
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
He used the emoji in there, too, so...
Next to it, yeah.
We've reached that point in the MLB scandal. It is not, as I said earlier, going anywhere. LeBron is hammered on a beach tweeting about it. Quick ratings note, too. We're not going to talk about it much, but I did want to point out the ratings for the XFL from week one to week two has dropped. So... For those of you who are in the business of XFL is going to grow in popularity.
It's 1 week. Don't do that. Run with the conclusion that when it dips, it's done. Just like the people when it rises, don't act like it's going to be the NFL.
It's over. They dropped on ABC by 35%, but it was better.
That's
apparently
a pretty big drop.
Apparently on ESPN, they were a little bit better, but they still dropped. It just wasn't as big of a drop. So
I still have not had one person in my life text or talk about the XFL. So I'm starting to wonder, is the market just degenerates?
Yeah, I got in a gambling conversation over the XFL this weekend. Apparently, every XFL game has hit the under.
See, now you have a reason to watch.
So now I'm kind of intrigued.
You may not want to, but you have a reason to watch.
Now, watch is too strong of a word. Follow the score? Yes, I might do that.
That's true. You don't need to watch to get the over-under, do you?
Check the ESPN app, you know?
Do you think this is going to keep dropping, or do you think it's going to stay about this or rise?
I wouldn't be so. Have you? I mean,
what is the most enticing thing to bring people in about this league?
Let me point that stat out.
Yeah.
Every game so far has hit the under. This is not an entertaining brand of football. It's horrible offensive line play and it's horrible quarterback play. Whoa. That doesn't rope people in.
No. First of all, it's rude to Matt McGloin.
He is terrible.
Who got benched, by the way, for calling out his team's play.
If you had
schematic strategy.
At least the Arena League had like crazy hits and you getting jammed into the boards and crazy plays and guys going in motion, right? Like there was at least an exciting factor there. Why would I watch an XFL game that's 12-7?
Well, but they're not... Yeah, but what's the CFL done that's exciting?
I don't know.
They've been around for 30 years.
Nobody watches.
Well, they only have three downs. The field is like 800 yards long. The end zone's 25 yards long.
The post is in the front of the end zone, not the back.
But you can score it. There's a 1-point play.
But
is it called a
rouge
or something? Well, I don't know. ESPN, if you watch like Friday nights late in the summer, ESPN's putting them on.
Berman's there hammered giving CFL highlights.
If you go to an Applebee's in the middle of the summer, there's going to be a CFL game.
That's right.
And you'll go, Vernon Adams. He's in Montreal.
Hey, you bite your tongue. He just got a contract extension.
In CFL?
I think he did, yeah.
Good for him. There's nothing wrong with balling out in the CFL. If you can make good money, go do it. But I'm To your point of like, what is exciting about it other than just, oh, there's football on my TV.
Right.
I really don't think I can name one. Did anything happen from the kickoff?
No, I didn't see any tweets about that this weekend.
And again, Matt McGloin is your starting quarterback. That's...
I'm going to totally throw down a under parlay, though, next weekend.
I want you to do that. Do three games and just
four,
put them in.
Right? Isn't there eight teams?
I don't know.
I think there's eight teams. So there's four. I think there's four games every week. I'm going to do a four-team under parlay.
That's probably a good payout for you.
Who's there with me, people? Let's do it. Under parlays next weekend.
It's one way to watch.
Quick look at the poll questions. Did you like the new format of the All-Star game? 48% of you say you didn't watch, but 38% of you say you loved it. What would have been appropriate punishment for the Astros players tied to the scandal? 69% of you say a half or full season ban. 4% of you say no suspension. 11% say a lifetime ban. And then did you get President's Day off? 67% of you say no. Yeah, it's our bad. We were off yesesterday. Good to be back, though, today on a Tuesday. It's going to be beautiful all week. Good little show. If you missed
any
of it.
There were a lot of people out and about yesterday.
There were, man.
I don't know if I agree with that poll result.
Dude, I went to the gym at like noon. That place was packed.
Yeah.
Packed. It's like, what the hell? It's the middle of the day. It's like, oh, that's right. I have the day off work, too. If you miss any of the show, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thank you for being a part of our Tuesday. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan. I said I'd find it,
love and love it if you like it, yeah. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.